Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Wednesday to you all. That's right. It's Hump Day and happy May. May 1st, 2019. Hope the first of the month is treating you well. It's a much better day weather-wise here in mid-Michigan. You know, yesterday it was cold and rainy. Same could be said for Monday as well. It's in the 50s right now. The only thing is just gloomy. So you got clouds outside. It's a bit gray, but feeling a lot better. All right. We got a great show coming your way. I'm going to touch on the NBA playoffs on today's current sports. And, you know, last night we saw the Golden State Warriors take a 2-0 series lead over the Houston Rockets. Something that I did predict. I kind of felt like, you know, with all of the controversy centered around what happened in game one with the referees on Sunday, you know, again, I counted watching that game seven times where it seemed like the refs just basically swallowed their whistles and allowed time after time after time Golden State Warrior defenders, to impede the landing zone of the Houston Rockets shooters. So that was like the big story coming out of game one. So, of course, with everybody watching and honing in on whether or not that kind of officiating would carry over from game one, the officiating last night was great. No problems there whatsoever. There was some drama, though. Two interesting injuries, to say the least. When it comes to Steph Curry, the world's greatest shooter, he had a dislocated finger in which they basically popped it back in place and he came back out there. It's on his non-shooting hand, but there was like a still photo of that dislocated finger that went viral after the game. And, ooh, was that nasty or what? That was pretty nasty. But it's a dislocated finger, and it's not on his shooting hand. You know, like Charles Barkley said last night on the broadcast, I mean, he had numerous throughout his career, and, you know, it'll be swollen for a moment, but you know, it's not going to tremendously impede what Steph does because, again, it's not on his shooting hand. And then James Harden, he took a finger to the eye courtesy of Draymond Green. It was so bad that he was actually bleeding from the eye, his eyelid to be exact. He had to go back and get it checked out. He did return in the game and actually came back and put on quite a heroic effort, you know, in a losing effort, but it was quite heroic for him to come back and to still find numerous ways to score. That was pretty impressive. But at the end of the day, Golden State now has a 2-0 series lead. I want to touch on a few aspects of that series. Also, we will be welcoming to the hour Deshaun Tate, college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. Deshaun is going to give us a quick preview, give his take on next year's Michigan State men's basketball team. We'll also, for the first time here on Current Sports, get the thoughts of Deshaun on Nick Ward deciding to take his talents to the NBA. He'll test the NBA waters. And if he doesn't get chosen in the NBA draft, I think he will. But if he doesn't get chosen, he'll be playing professionally somewhere, whether it's, you know, the G League or, you know, it may be overseas somewhere. We'll get Deshaun's take on whether or not that was the right move for Ward, and also get his thoughts on next year's team as it pertains to Cassius Winston deciding to do the opposite of Ward and come back for his senior season, and some really intriguing new faces that now join this team for next season as freshmen. All right? And then on the back end of the show, I've got a question for our listeners right now, because, you know, I did not know that this aired last night until I woke up this morning and saw a lot of folks talking about it. But what I'm referring to is the Felipe Lopez 30 for 30 done by ESPN. I'm a huge fan, just like many of you guys out there, of the ESPN 30 for 30 series, which are basically these documentary movies centered on some of the most compelling stories in sports history. And last night, they produced one where they aired it. It's centered around Felipe Lopez. If you don't know who Felipe Lopez is, he is a Dominican retired professional basketball player from the DR, from the Dominican Republic, who went on to star as a high school basketball prospect in New York City. And a lot of people were buzzing about this morning. I was, you know, on Twitter, and people were tweeting about how good it was. And I feel like a lot of folks out there just didn't know how good Felipe Lopez was. And I must admit, I didn't know how good he was until I watched, and I haven't finished it because I had to, of course, prep for today's show. But I watched the first 30 minutes of it this morning, and wow, he was fantastic. I mean, people compared him to, like, you know, when looking back in basketball history, you know, people compare the craze that was Felipe Lopez as a high school baller back in the 80s to the craze that was LeBron James during his time in Akron, Ohio. I mean, he was that popular. And to put in perspective just how popular and just how big of a figure he was in high school basketball in the streets of New York, I mean, you got people on there like, you know, Chauncey Billups. You got people on there like, heck, I even saw Alex Rodriguez. He was a part of the baseball player who's now getting married to Jennifer Lopez. He was a part of the documentary last night. But you look at the footage of Felipe, and you hear his story, how he was an immigrant who had to, you know, who was separated from his parents for 3 years because his parents wanted to move to the United States to chase the American dream. At the time, Felipe and his younger sister didn't have a visa to come over, so they were separated from their parents, Felipe and his little sister, for 3 years. Then finally, when Felipe comes over, you know, he's just playing local basketball. His brother knows of this local team in the area that's pretty big and says, hey, man, you guys need to check out my brother. And just 2 months in the States, in New York, Felipe goes and they hold like this tryout where this local team puts their best player against Felipe in a one-on-one basketball match. And Felipe does like a 360 baseline dunk. And he's not even in high school yet. He's like an eighth grader at this point. And he just blows up. The myth blows up from there. Pretty intriguing documentary, folks. And, you know, while sitting there watching it this morning, you know, I just thought I'd throw this question out there because, you know, I've seen some pretty good high school athletes here in mid-Michigan. But I know my seasoned listeners out there who are born and raised here, you all have gotten the opportunity to witness some pretty incredible high school talent. I know that because every single year in the summertime, you know, we welcome Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. We welcome him to the show to talk about the latest class being inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. And every single year, I am reading bios centered on athletes and teams who were phenomenal back in the day during their high school playing days. And so I want to ask the question out there, who is the greatest high school athlete you ever got to witness in person? Not on television, but I'm talking about with your own two eyeballs in the arena, inside the stadium, on the field. Who is the greatest high school athlete you have ever seen in person? I'll give you mine later on this hour, and I'll keep it to this area because I could go back in Detroit and throw up a few names that I saw in person, heck, even during my high school playing days where my jaw kind of hit the floor. But I want to keep it to this area, and I want to hear from you guys out there because I know some of you got the opportunity to witness a name like Magic Johnson, right? I mean, I want to know what that was like. For those who got the opportunity to watch Irvin Magic Johnson in person here in Lansing, what was that like? I mean, and I was watching footage of Felipe Lopez and, you know, his myth growing as he continued his high school basketball playing career and looking at the footage of the packed gyms and how they had to move venues because the tickets would sell out. I mean, he was like a celebrity. He was a celebrity during that time in New York City. Was it like that when Magic was playing here? I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I'm curious if there's anybody out there who did get a chance to see Magic Johnson in high school in person and maybe have another name that comes to mind that trumps Magic in high school. I highly doubt if you saw Magic Johnson in person playing high school basketball that there's another athlete that you saw in the high school ranks that towers over Magic, that ranks over Magic. But if so, I would love to hear what that name is. Or is there somebody that comes close? You can also comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also even tweet me. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start here. Riley Bullis' time as an unemployed National Football League player was short-lived after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually waived Bulla on Monday. He did get picked up, though. The Tennessee Titans announced yesterday that they have claimed the former Michigan State linebacker. Bulla appeared in 9 games, starting 3 in 2018, and registered 14 tackles. So, again, he was unemployed just for a short stint. Bucks waived him. Titans picked him up. Former Detroit Lions defensive end Ezekiel Ansah. He was in Seattle to visit the Seattle Seahawks. A source told NFL Network's Mike Garofalo that news. ESPN first reported it. Since the start of free agency, Ansah has visited the Baltimore Ravens, the New Orleans Saints, and Buffalo Bills, but has yet to sign. Now, last week, Ian Rappaport added that Ansa recently had a checkup, with Dr. Neil L. Atrach, pretty famous doctor, I guess, in the sporting ranks. While the doctor found no structural issues with Ansa's shoulder, the defensive end still needed to rebuild strength. So Rappaport said Ansa should be clear by mid-August or right in the middle of training camp. But again, the former defensive end, Iggy Ziggy Ansa, in Seattle, meeting with the Seahawks. We'll see if there are any developments on that story as the days continue. All right, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Isaiah Crowell, who suffered a torn Achilles during a workout on Monday, he will undergo surgery, and get this, he will miss the entire season. So Isaiah Crowell done. Crazy stuff, right? It just in a preseason workout, he does this. Now, he rushed for 685 yards, 6 touchdowns in his lone season with the New York Jets last year. That's before signing a 1-year deal with Oakland this offseason. But Connor, you know, Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass engineering today's current sports, you know, you just really hate to hear stories like this, especially when you talk about an offseason workout.
Before training camp.
Right before training camp, dude. I mean, that's – and I was looking forward to possibly having him on my fantasy team as a late pick. But, hey, that's the game of football. You just never know. You just never know. So, wishing Isaiah Crowell the best in his recovery. Okay, Michigan State men's golfers. James Piatt and Donnie Trosper have both been voted to the All-Big Ten First Team. The conference made that announcement yesterday afternoon. James was one of three players to garner a unanimous selection. He was also last year's conference freshman of the year and has continued to be one of the top players in the Big Ten Conference. He leads the Spartans with a 71.62 scoring average and has a total of five top 10 finishes this season. He has the best finish of his career at Robert Kepler Intercollegiate, at the Robert Kepler Intercollegiate that took place from April 19th to the 20th, where he tied for second place at three under par, a 139. And Trosper, who transferred to Michigan State for his final season, has been in the top 10 six times this year and has also won one tournament. He carded three rounds under par, including a five under par 67, tied for the best score by a Spartan this season to garner medalist honors at the Colton River Collegiate to help the Spartans win the tournament. So, again, two Michigan State men's golfers earning first team All Big Ten. Pretty impressive. All right, the Old English D got over a four-game losing streak by coming out with a win last night against Bryce Harper and the struggling Philadelphia Phillies, 3-1 the final. The Tigers' only form of offense on the scoreboard came in the third inning when Miguel Cabrera, cashed in an RBI off a routine single between the third base gap and Nico Goodrum, absolutely crushed a two-run big fly. Spencer Turnbull, he pitched through six innings, only giving up three hits and pitching five Ks. Shane Green getting the save. The Tigers' action will continue tonight as they face the Phillies again at 7.05 p.m. on Fox Sports Detroit. The Wayne State University Athletic Campus is on the verge of getting a big addition, and the Detroit Pistons organization could be a major partner in the venture. At its meeting yesterday afternoon, the Wayne State Board of Governors expected to review, well, actually, that's today, this afternoon, expected to review a proposal to approve construction for a new basketball facility for the men's and women's teams. Now, the project will cost about $25 million, and the new building at the corner of Warren and Trumbull could be completed by 2021. The Pistons have an agreement with the Grand Rapids Drive through 2020 to 2021, but the source indicated that if Wayne State's Board of Governors approves the construction proposal, the Pistons could move their G League team, whether it's the Drive or an expansion team, to Midtown Detroit in time for the 2021-22 season. So again, the Pistons and its G League affiliate, the Drive, could be moving to Wayne State University. That'd be exciting. All right, the NBA and the NHL. Playoff action last night in the NBA. We saw the Milwaukee Bucks get a blowout dub over the Boston Celtics, 123-102, the final. That series is now tied at one game apiece. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the Golden State Warriors ended up beating the Houston Rockets, 115-109. The Warriors lead that series 2-0 now. And in the National Hockey League, the Blue Jackets over the Bruins, 2-1 the final last night. The Blue Jackets lead the series 2-1. And also the Sharks lead the Avalanche. The Sharks getting a win last night, 4-2 the final in that one. And last but not least, this is pretty big news here. South Africa's Caster Semenya lost her appeal today against rules designed to decrease naturally high testosterone levels in some female runners. Now, in a landmark 2-1 ruling, the highest court in the sports world said the proposed rules from track's governing body, the International Association of Athletics Federations, are discriminatory. But, quote, such discrimination is a necessary, reasonable, and proportionate means of preserving the integrity of female athletics, end quote. Now, the IAAF argued that unusually high naturally occurring levels of testosterone in athletes like Semenya with intersex conditions that don't conform to standard definitions of male and female give them an unfair competitive advantage, and it decreed a maximum for females. So there you have that. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, I'm asking the question because in light of the Felipe Lopez 30 for 30 documentary that aired last night, again, I've only seen about 1/4 of it. Pretty good so far. I'm asking you, who is the greatest high school athlete you have ever witnessed in person? Not seen on television, not seen on social media, but have witnessed in person in the building with your own two eyes. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave a comment at our Facebook page. Comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
What, nine, man? You're going to take up 8 minutes repeating your damn self. Mr. Sensitive. No, ain't no Mr. Sensitive. Hey. Do it again. I'm telling you right now.
Don't you want to weigh in on this game?
No, I don't want to weigh in. No.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it, Shaq.
Yeah. You know, though. I'm just don't a sensitive. Do. No, I ain't sensitive. I'm going to knock your ass out. I'm telling you right now. You play with me if you want to. It's supposed to be 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2, back to 1. With your dumb ass. Do it again, Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Yo, dude.
I'm telling you, it's going to be some fun.
Hey, so Chuck.
You repeat yourself.
Who was a better high school player?
Kenny, I ain't in the movie.
It's supposed to be 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2, back.
I'm not saying no jokes, man.
Funny.
That's him, man. That's all him.
It's funny.
Say what?
Do it again.
Kenny, why don't you go ahead and say what you want to say?
I'm going to throw this you think it's fun? I'm gonna throw this metal damn can at your ass.
Oh man! Nah, see, yo, he's been getting on Shaq all night. That's what it is.
No, Kenny, you started messing with him in the back.
No, I didn't. You started with the whole.
No, you said you started with
the
back.
You started with it. The Felipe again. Lopez.
No, you
was
said
a
Felipe.
Player.
You said Shaq. Didn't Kenny make you mad earlier tonight? He said Felipe Lopez was a better player than you.
Like a high school player because we were watching 30 for 30. Yeah, he said that. He's like
people
he's
at home know me that I ain't playing right now. I ain't playing right now.
Oh my goodness. When I tell you, I was in absolute tears watching that last night. There's no better broadcast in the world of sports than inside the NBA with Ernie Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny the Jet Smith and Charles Barkley, and in part because they just say whatever's on their mind. And they always are clowning each other. Ernie Johnson, he got so tickled because they joke so much on that show, but last night Shaq got genuinely mad. He was really upset because they have a segment where they give each other, you know, a minute to break down, you know, the next day's coming games. And Charles took up Shaq's time. He basically took up about, I want to say like 20 seconds of Shaq's minute total to double back and finish his point. And Shaq, you know, Ernie went to Shaq and Shaq basically said, no, I'm not talking. That's it. I'm ticked off right now. Nope. We'll just finish the segment. I'm not going to talk. And he took it so personally. And then you see Charles. It got kind of awkward for like 2 seconds. And then Charles busts out laughing. Kenny starts to laugh. And then Shaq says it's supposed to go 1, 2, 3, not 1, 2, and then back to 1. And Ernie loses it. Oh, that moment has gone viral. It's all over social media now. I knew when it happened, it was going to go pretty viral. But I love watching those guys. They do an excellent job. And it's just so laid back. It's so funny and insightful. They do a great job balancing that whole thing. So shout out to Inside the NBA. And you heard Kenny say in that snippet there, you know, they were discussing. And Shaq was just kind of taking a Well, Charles is taking a jab at Shaq. They were watching the 30 for 30 of Felipe Lopez last night. And he basically said, yeah, you know, Shaq, Felipe Lopez was a better high school basketball player than you. And I guess that's what started the whole jabs all night. But yeah, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. Connor, I told you, Golden State was going to be on high alert because of what happened on Sunday. They heard the chatter, all of the criticism about the referees and, you know, it basically, I feel like the Warriors took it from this standpoint. They felt like a lot of people thought that they won game one due to the help of the referees. And I'm kind of one of those people. You heard my thoughts on it yesterday. I think that, you know, I counted seven times I counted in that game on Sunday in which I thought fouls should have been called beyond the arc due to Golden State Warriors defenders not allowing Houston Rockets shooters to land. That's a consistent call that the referees have blown the whistle on all season, and for some reason they swallowed the whistle on Sunday. Seven opportunities behind the arc to go to the free throw line to shoot three free throws. That definitely could have swayed the game. So there's been a lot of chatter about it, and the officiating last night was good, but the Warriors are so talented, one of the most talented NBA teams of all time. You got the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry. You've got, you know, a shooter who's almost on his level with Klay Thompson, also on that team. One of the greatest, you know, I don't even know what you call them, garbage men of all time. And garbage men, I mean that in all respect to Draymond Green. That's a good thing, okay? You know, the guy who does the dirty work, who plays defense, who grabs the rebounds, who talks the trash. You know, like the Dennis Rodman kind of guy, right? Draymond Green is that. He's been fantastic so far in these first two games. Draymond Green has upped his game. And then you have who I believe right now, today, May 1st, 2019, Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world right now. And he's showing that. You know, it was LeBron James, but we all know what happened this season with LeBron and the Lakers. Watching Kevin Durant do what he has done throughout the regular season and now in the playoffs, you can't throw out another name that comes close to Kevin Durant. He's hitting down, you know, the mid-range jumper.
Giannis.
Giannis is good, but Giannis can't shoot, Connor. That's the big knock on Giannis. Giannis cannot shoot the three-pointer consistently. That is the only problem. Giannis will be that guy, I believe, in 2 to 3 years, but Giannis can't knock down the outside jumper consistently. I was having this conversation 2 days ago. But Kevin Durant can do it all. The dude has no, and he's playing defense now. I mean, that block, remember the on Sunday, the block that he had on James Harden? I mean, the guy is playing both sides of the court now, and it's something special to watch. So, you know, I thought that Golden State, hearing all of that noise, they would be, you know, you poke the bear, and it's like their senses got heightened. They weren't going to make many mistakes come Tuesday night, and they didn't. I mean, heck, if you were watching that game at the very beginning, I was hoping that it wouldn't be a blowout. Golden State began to stretch that game, which made the performance of James Harden and the grit that his supporting cast showed, guys like, for instance, Eric Gordon, and then Clint Capella came out of nowhere as well in that second half, which you know, made that performance pretty impressive from the Rockets as well, because they made it a game in that second half, despite the fact that the Warriors did not make many mistakes in that game. But turnovers is what hurt the Rockets, and offensive rebounds, the constant offensive rebounds that they gave up. But James Harden getting poked in the eye and coming back, he could barely see. I watched his press conference last night. He spent most of the press conference just staring at the desk next to the mic because he couldn't look up because of the bright lights and everything was kind of blurry. That was an awesome performance from him. And you won't see these two teams go at it again until Saturday. That's a lot of time off. A lot of time off. So 3 days to rest. Steph Curry gets to rest that dislocated finger of his, and James Harden gets to heal the eye. And it now shifts to Houston. And I don't think the Rockets are dead just yet, though, Connor. I think that the Rockets can push this thing to at least six games, maybe seven. That's what I'm hoping, because this is a series, honestly, that I want to see in the Western Conference Finals We got it a series early. I want to see this thing go seven. I think it can go seven. What do you think?
I really think it's going to go to seven games. I mean, you have the first game. First game's controversy in Oracle. And then the second game, you know, is the Warriors responding to the, oh, well, we need the refs to win. I think going back to home court, where I think, as we all know, in the NBA, your home court, you tend to get a little bit more friendly calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus the fact that the Rockets team, plus the fact the Rockets team is still kind of rolling. I mean, James Harden, with a poked eye, was able to pull that team. Once he heals up and plus a home environment, I think it'll go to seven games. I don't know who's going to win, to be honest with you, because I think either team.
Really?
I don't know because I think either team can steal a game that they quote unquote weren't supposed to win. So I think it's really up in the air. If the Rockets can push it to seven games, I think it's anyone's game.
I don't see Golden State losing this early in the NBA playoffs. They're much too talented. They're so much deeper than Houston as well. Even though Houston is a really good team, and I like that team from top to bottom, just too much firepower on that team. Steph and Draymond and Klay and especially KD, they're not going to go out that early. But will make it interesting.
The other storyline to watch too is Draymond is racking up technicals, and
They took last night's back.
They took one back, but I think the Warriors and Draymond have to be really mindful of the fact that if Draymond misses a game, it could be a similar situation to what we saw in the infamous blown 3-1 lead to the NBA Finals. If you lose your enforcer. That team we've seen before has gotten mentally flustered when things aren't all going their way. So I mean, that's something to watch. If Draymond needs to watch himself with those techs,
dude. Draymond basically cost Golden State another ring, right? I mean, the whole comeback, the three games to one comeback from the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, he was punished a game in that series due to the fact that he racked up technicals and had to sit out a game. And if that did not happen, I believe Golden State would have had another championship.
I mean, probably, because Draymond in that series was just a defensive force. He was a nuisance,
right?
Which is what he does. But I mean, he's got to be careful about that line, because again, he's too vital of a player for that defense. If he misses a game, there's not another player on that team I think you can substitute in for him defensively.
Right. I'm with you, man. And I have to say this too, and I've said it multiple times here on the show, but Draymond is just so annoying now. Is he not to you? I mean, every play that he's involved in, he's got to look at the ref or say something, or it's got to be some kind of interaction. I'm watching last night, and, you know, he's driving, and the ball gets stripped out of his hands. And I'm like, all right, Draymond, Houston is pushing the basketball back on the other side from right to left. And Draymond is sitting there just staring the ref down.
I can kind of understand as his job is, like you said, the guard man. He's supposed to be the instigator. He's supposed to be the nuisance. You know,
yeah, right.
You're going to tick off your opponent if you're doing that every time too. I mean, they're going to be, oh, come on, get over it, man. I get it to some extent, but like you said, every single time it gets old. And I think that also is hurting him, because if I'm a referee and the guy's in my face every play, you are asking to get teed up, even if you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean,
right, you're not on their favorite list. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Draymond, just please. That would be because how many can we look up? How many he needs in order to get suspended now?
I think he's only one or two away, but I'll double check that.
Because they took last night's away. I must say, last night's technical was a little bit ridiculous, and that may have to that may be a point, or an instance to your point, I should say, Connor, because. You know, Draymond basically just threw his hands up and just kind of looked at the bench, and then they teed him up. But when you are always in the ref's face and always having some kind of reaction to a call or a non-call, I should say, the referees are going to get fed up with it from time to time. And maybe, occasionally they blow that whistle a bit too quick, which is, I believe, what happened last night. So how many does he need?
So it's seven technicals to be suspended for a game in the playoffs. Now, I think that's kind of up to discretion too, because if there's obviously a flagrant two type thing, then, you know, there might be more than one game. But it's seven, and then it's a one game suspension.
Okay.
But I think Draymond has he had four. He now has three because they revoked it. So he has 3. So he needs to tread very lightly. Even if he doesn't get the suspension during this series, if that carries over and like a Portland advances, that can be a problem.
It certainly can be a problem. You need Draymond Green if you're going to pull out another ring. So we'll see what happens, but he's very close.
Yeah, he's walking a tightrope.
He is walking a tightrope. Yeah, very well put. Okay, let's hit our first break. When we come back, and again, the question I'm asking to you all, who is the greatest high school player, any sport, that you have ever witnessed in person? Not, again, watching television or on social media. I'm talking about in person. Who is the greatest high school athlete you've ever seen? We're getting some comments on our Facebook page. You can also call in. Want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. On the other side of this first break, we'll be chatting with Deshaun Tate, college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and in light of last night's airing of the Felipe Lopez 30 for 30 documentary, I am asking our listeners out there, whether you're listening in your car, courtesy of your radio, or you may be watching the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News right now. I'm asking you guys to weigh in. I want to know who is the greatest high school athlete you've ever witnessed in person. That's the key, in person. When you were in the building and you said, oh my gosh, look at what this young man or young woman is doing. Getting some comments on our Facebook page. Ben says, well, I'll start with Steven. Steven says Irvin Magic Johnson and Jay Vincent playing against each other here in the area. Paul Cook was coaching Eastern. That was my brother-in-law at the time. I followed Lansing Eastern back then. Steven, I am incredibly jealous of you. Steven, if you can, please call in because I want to know. I want to hear how crazy that atmosphere was. You know, walking in the gym, and I've heard stories about Magic and Jay going at it. You know, what was that atmosphere like? If you can, call in, brother. I want to hear firsthand from you. 517-355 WKAR 517-355-9527. And Ben says Marcus Taylor was the greatest high school athlete I ever saw play the game of basketball. He won the 2000 Class A State Championship with my alma mater, Waverly High School, and he won the national championship with Michigan State. So Ben is going with Marcus. I've heard some pretty incredible stories when it comes to Marcus as well. For you, Connor, before we get to Deshaun, who was the greatest high school athlete you ever witnessed? And again, you're from West.
I almost made the mistake again.
Virginia. You're from, not West Virginia, Virginia. Who's the greatest high school athlete you ever saw in that area?
Jonathan Allen. Big defensive end. I remember the game. He played for Stonebridge High School. He played the year before he went to Alabama. He played us, and we lost, I believe, 48-6, and it was 48-6 because of the only touchdown we scored. Jonathan Allen took the guy who was blocking, who was about my height or maybe an inch or two taller than me, took him, threw him over his shoulder, blocked the extra point, and carried on his day. We were getting whooped so bad in that game that Stonebridge decided, yeah, we're gonna put him at running back just for fun, just to run out the clock. I believe he ran for over 150 yards.
Wow. Over 150 yards.
He's a big dude. He also played basketball. Wasn't quite as good as that as football, but he...
What position in basketball?
He was playing center.
He was playing center, obviously. What,
like think of, 38-year-old Shaq just kind of sitting down there and just bullying his way in.
Wow. That had to be quite the scene. What was it like seeing him in person, his physical stature?
It was insane. It was watching an NFL player play against high schoolers, and he would just destroy our quarterback. He had they switched up the tackles twice because the first tackle he broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
Getting to the quarterback, and then the second one he just threw him around like a rag doll. It was insane.
Oh
my
goodness!
One man wrecking ball.
That's a good one. That's a really, really. And if I remember correctly, I remember we did have a conversation about him and you playing against him in high school. This is I believe last summer we were talking about that. But
Jonathan Allen is the reason I did not play high school football because I saw what he could do to people that were much bigger than me, and I did not want to be on the offensive line getting torn in half.
You didn't want them problems.
No, I did not.
You did not want those problems. That's awesome stuff. That's a really good one. That's a great one. And real quick, before we get to Deshaun as well, I know, Jack, you have a pretty good one that's going to please Michigan State fans out there. Who is the greatest high school athlete you've ever witnessed in person?
Cassius Winston. It's not even close. Got to see him for 4 years in high school.
And I know we've had conversations about this, Jack. You didn't think, though, Cassius would turn out to be the player that he became here at Michigan State. But what was he like in high school?
When did I say that?
We've had conversations about that.
He was the top point guard in the class of 2016 as a freshman.
I'm talking about the National Player of the Year candidate, Jack. We've had conversations.
I am not surprised by anything Cassius has accomplished in his time at Michigan State.
Really?
He's the same player he was at U of D Jesuit. He wasn't the best athlete back then, but he was such a cerebral player.
Jack, don't do me like that. Jack,
what do you want me to say?
You're telling me that you thought Cassius Winston, who is a buck 80 wet, would become a National Player of the Year candidate in the same sentence of... I know you're not surprised, but you didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, I never said I expected it to happen, but I'm not surprised.
Ridiculous.
That is blasphemous.
I never said I expected it to happen, but I'm not surprised at what he's accomplished in 3 years.
You're not surprised, but you didn't see that on the horizon, Nostradamus. Come on, dude.
Okay, fair enough, but yeah. I mean, I knew he was going to be a great player.
Okay, you knew he
was
going to
be a great player. I'm not surprised by anything he's accomplished.
All right, I had to call you out on that because to say, oh yeah, I saw this coming for Cassius. Come on.
He's the same player he was in high school to a higher level now, but he's always played this way, and he's always been the smartest guy on the court. He's always been able to shoot the rock.
Right.
We ran an up-tempo offense at U of D Jesuit, and you know, I think the coach he learned under and Pat Donnelly at U of D Jesuit helped a lot for his development under Tom Izzo, because I don't know if anyone yells more than Tom Izzo amongst college basketball coaches, but in the state of Michigan amongst high school basketball coaches, I'm not sure anyone yells more than Pat Donnelly at U of D Jesuit.
So Pat kind of groomed him for Tom Izzo, right?
His track record's proven, though. He's a fantastic coach, and
right.
I mean, Cassius has always been very coachable, so it was like a natural fit then, and it is with Izzo as well.
He's such a smart kid. Like you said, he is so smart.
And you know what? He's so tough between his ears because the harder you are on him, the better he plays.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think that's why Izzo coaches him the way he does.
Definitely.
And it's the way Donnelly did as well.
That's how you get the best out of Cassius Winston. Not every player can do that, but that's awesome, man. I know he was he must have been big man on campus back in high school, dude, walking around just swagoo dripping everywhere, right?
No, he was a regular dude. He was such regular a cool dude. Guy. I mean, everyone knew who he was, and obviously he was super popular because of it, but you would have never guessed he was a great basketball player.
Really?
No.
Well, that's what I love about Cassius. He's one of he's one of my favorite athletes I've covered here at Michigan State because he's so down-to-earth, chill, and humble. So, awesome stuff. Those two are really hard to beat. But, again, when you got Steven calling in and saying, well, commenting and saying Irvin Magic Johnson, that had to be quite the scene back in the day. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9517. Actually, hold on, Deshaun. We're going to get to you real quick. Steve, he answered, you know, my call out, and he actually called into the show. Steve from Lansing joins us real quick. Steve, real quick, dude, what was it like being in the gym and witnessing Jay Vincent and Magic Johnson go at it?
Now, at one time, they didn't have a big enough arena. They played at Jenison Fieldhouse for the 10,000 people for a high school basketball game back then, mid-70s. 10,000 people? That's pretty big back then, in mid-70s. Paul Cook was the head coach. It was unbelievable. My brother was married to one of his daughters, so we followed Lansing Eastern quite a bit back then.
Right.
It was amazing.
I'm sure. And I've heard stories. That atmosphere.
The only two losses a year Lansing Eastern back then was to Everett. Then they played for the district championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern could never get out of that district because they had to play Everett. They could never get out of that district because they had to play Everett. And that one, there was one year, Everett went all the way and won a state championship with Irvin.
Right.
And poor Jay Vincent, he couldn't get out of that district because of Irvin.
Right. Irvin was always there.
They would go undefeated against each other. Then I think Eastern did beat them one year in the four years of Jay and Magic going against each other.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it was unbelievable. It was really big back then. That's why I brought it up.
What a time. So you said 10,000 people?
It's Tennyson Fieldhouse.
Wow.
Ask Jack Eveline or ask one of the guys that
I've heard. Yeah, Jack has told me stories. Yeah.
I swear there's we went to Tennyson Fieldhouse, and I swear Tennyson held 10,000, and it was packed.
Wow. Amazing.
You can talk to some of your buddies, your cohort,
definitely
tell you stories.
Yeah.
And you know
Steve,
you don't have teams around here anymore like that.
No, you don't.
I mean, you get one or two, three guy named players, but you don't have teams like that anymore around here.
Right. That's true. Steve, thank you for sharing that. Appreciate you answering the call, my man.
You're welcome. You called me out. I had to call you.
You got it. Steve, one of our loyal listeners of Current Sports. Thanks. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that. Had to be an incredible atmosphere. Okay, let's get to our guest now. He's been waiting oh so patiently. DeShaun Tate, college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. And I'll just start there, DeShaun. I'm curious. You are from the Lansing area. Who's the greatest high school athlete you ever got a chance to see in person, man?
Man, Al, thanks for having me on, man. I have probably so much to say here. I'm going to try my best. No guarantees to get long-winded.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
I was a freshman at Waverly when Marcus Taylor was a senior. Good friend of mine. Hung out every day. Had an opportunity, obviously, to see him on the biggest stages. By the way, didn't win a national championship at Michigan State during that time. I can't remember who said he did. But,
yeah.
He's certainly in that conversation for me, and I've seen a lot of basketball. I've been covering high school basketball for quite some time, still covering it and seeing some of the best players around the country. Marcus Taylor is certainly one of those guys from the standpoint of one of the guys that nobody could stop. Now, as far as dominance, I don't think you'll meet a person who saw Kelvin Tolbert in person that can say that they've ever seen a more dominant player in high school. If you watch Kelvin Tolbert and you're familiar what he did on the high school level only. I was blessed with the opportunity to see Zion Williamson when he was in high school. And I'm not talking about when Zion's playing the guys that, look like they're 12 years old and still set like they're 12 years old. I'm talking about on the AAU circuit and outside of the AAU circuit where Zion Spartanburg Day School team was playing up against some of the better competition nationally, not within the state of South Carolina where guys were looking really young. So I think Maya Moore is another one here out of Collins Hill High School in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Saw her take off from the free throw line for a dunk. Though she missed it, I think that's probably the worst that I've ever seen her, anything that she's ever done. In regards to the conversation that you guys are having about Cassius Winston, it doesn't surprise me. Did I see it coming? No.
Only God.
No.
Only God saw that coming. Okay.
You know what? I can also honestly say that I thought that what we would see out of Cassius Winston would be more likely to see before we saw what we saw out of Denzel Valentine at Michigan State based on him in high school. And the same thing with Draymond Green. Not a knock against Draymond or Denzel as far as what kind of phenomenal basketball players and athletes that they were in high school, but I expected this kind of performance long before out of Cassius Winston than I would have ever said, especially out of a Denzel Valentine.
DeShaun, you and I got to go get a drink sometime or something and talk about how wrong Al is about everything.
No, this is what I'm saying. You guys aren't surprised. But you didn't sit there when Cassius Winston walked on this campus as a freshman and said, ha ha, that's going to be your national player of the year candidate. Well, stop it.
Well, to be fair, I live in Georgia and I didn't get an opportunity to see Cassius Winston in high school. So I can't say that I saw him personally in high school. I saw Denzel Valentine. I saw Draymond Green. I saw these guys.
Right.
But if you would have told me that by his senior year, Cassius Winston would be the front runner for a National Player of the Year, I'd probably agree with that because he's a four-year player and he's a system player. He's in a really good system. And a lot of other guys are leaving right now from the NBA, I mean, to go to the NBA and declaring. And so looking at everything that he did from this standpoint, who can you honestly say that you would have thought would have been probably better than he was? But, again, I didn't see him in high school, so it's really difficult for me to say.
Right. And you know what? Two things. Thank you for that correction. That was Ben who said that Marcus had won a national championship. Thank you for that correction, Deshaun. And also, yes, Kelvin Torbert. That's a name that I have not brought up this hour. You know, I got a chance. I know Kelvin, and I've had him on Current Sports multiple times. I remember the first time I sat down with Kelvin was for Current Sports TV. This is like 2 or 3 years ago. And I was doing my research and prepping for the interview, Deshaun. And I was just so amazed when I looked at what he was able to accomplish in high school and reading accounts from players that played against him. This dude was something serious in high school, right?
Oh, absolutely, without question. Like I said, in terms of overall skill set, I may not have been all that impressed or as impressed as some other people were. But when, from a dominant standpoint, there was nobody stronger than him on that level. There was nobody that was big enough to check him. It's not like he was hitting jump shots from all around the floor. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm going to post you. I'm going to get rebounds, putbacks, alley-oop dunks. And again, not to say that he was a bad shooter because he wasn't, but he didn't have to be that. Similar to a Ben Simmons right now, where everybody said, well, Ben Simmons can't shoot in this net. Doesn't it make him just that much more of a special player in a sense? Not saying he has the skill set package, but to be a guy that you can limit his abilities without the jump shot, and then he can still give you 30-plus, I think that's where you have to give some credit to those guys who's limited, but you still can't stop what they're able to do elsewhere on the floor.
Right. Very, very good point. I'm glad you brought that name up. Okay, Deshaun, as we come up here with about 5 minutes left, I know we've got so tangled up in this conversation. It's a fun one, without a doubt, which is why we got to get you back. But I want you to just comment on the season that was for Michigan State last season, going to the Final Four, and also the decision for Cassius to come back for his senior season. No surprise there. But the decision for Nick Ward, which didn't surprise me, this decision didn't surprise me from Nick Ward. But your thoughts on Nick Ward deciding to take his talents possibly to the National Basketball Association?
Well, I knew that Nick Ward wanted to be a pro, and you kind of knew that based on him really wanting to test the waters after, you know, last year and him obviously not doing that. And I'll be honest with you, this is not an NBA that is cut out for Nick Ward, whether he left last year, whether he left this year, whether he left next year. It's not that kind of game. It's not a back to the basket, you know, down low, physical on the block type of game. It's about wings. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw an NBA really soon or sooner than later get to a point where it's an all wings type of NBA. List, athleticism, that type of basketball where everybody's almost like a three, can shoot the ball,
right,
can handle the basketball and bring it up the floor. And, you know, it's just turned into a different game. Unfortunately, he can't control it. He has no control over it. But Nick Ward's body type does not fit his skill set with his inability to shoot the jump shot does not fit well for this NBA. This NBA is, can you run? Yes, check mark. Can you jump? Yes, check mark. Those are things that are weaknesses, especially from a jumping standpoint for Nick Ward. And this is even after he shed the weight and got a little lighter and showed that he has the ability to improve in those areas. I'm not going to say it's a great decision because I don't think that it is. Unless he's really hurting for money, him and his family. But in the same token, it's a bad draft. Next year's draft might slightly be better, I would imagine, and especially at that position. I can't say that I really blame him from that standpoint. I'm just happy if he has the opportunity to land on a roster and stick. Like, will he get drafted? Probably not. Can he still make it if he doesn't get drafted? Absolutely. This isn't about guys that can go to the NBA anymore. The question now is, can you go to the NBA and stick without getting dropped down to the overpopulated G League?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the bigger question. I don't see that for him on a personal level where I have rooting interest in Michigan State. I would like to see him come back, being selfish a little bit. But people have got to do what's best for them and their family, and I'm happy for him if he feels like this is the best decision for him.
Right, definitely. And as far as real quick here, Deshaun, how would you describe the year that we saw for Michigan State last season, and just real brief thoughts on what you predict for next season?
Yeah, I guess I didn't answer that question for you. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine, man. You're fine.
They overachieved. If you would have told me that Michigan State, I thought their ceiling honestly was Sweet 16. If they made the Elite Eight, they would be awfully lucky. If they get to the Final Four, I'd probably be pretty close to putting some money against that. But also to do that without a Langford for a significant point of this, a part of the season, and without Nick Ward for a part of that. And then I thought for so long we'd see Cassius Winston kind of get drained out quite a bit and overworked a little bit, and he held his own very well from that standpoint. So they certainly overachieved, especially beating Duke, the overall number one seed, the team that I had winning the national championship in my bracket, and a lot of people I'm sure probably did, the best player in the country on their team, the best coach in the land on their team. You got to give them some credit. Now, one thing I will tell you, and I know you said be quick about this, and I'm going to try my best, I will never work another Final Four. I saw you down there. I was hoping you got back safely. I don't think I'll ever want to work another Final Four, as this is my fifth consecutive one in a row where I have rooting interest, because it was the worst thing in the world for me to sit there and have to endure the loss to Texas Tech right in front of my face. And you know us, we're at work, so we have to be neutral. If you would have told me going in to the season, Michigan State will not only be in the Final Four, but they would be Duke in the Elite Eight to get there, and the only team standing in their way is Texas Tech, Auburn, and Virginia, I would have said, let's get ready to hang the banners and bring another national championship to East Lansing for the first time since 2000.
I was right there with you, Deshaun. All right, dude. Outstanding job as always, man. Hope all is well out in the ATL. We'll get you back on soon, man. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Al.
Again, Deshaun Tate, college basketball columnist, reporter, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. Thank you so much to everybody who commented at our Facebook page. Thanks so much to Stephen for calling in. And everybody out there who tuned in to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy May. And as always, be easy, people.